Blog Talk Radio.
Whosoever drinketh of the water that I give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Overflow.
A brand new unwavering ministry, yeah. Let me be.
And I hope that's how you feel tonight. You want the Holy Spirit to overflow in you tonight. This is Paul Anthony Johnson with NIACOM, and we are excited to be here online live with you tonight. And we have Vonda. Go ahead and introduce yourself, Vonda. This is our co-host.
Vonda L. Chappelle.
Vonda L. Chappelle, how are you doing tonight?
I am blessed. I'm awesome. I'm all of that tonight. How are
Amen.
You?
Amen. I'm doing good because, you know, I'm excited about our guest tonight. I'm excited about what's going to happen tonight with life-forming transformations that's going to happen through this program tonight. So if you've logged in, if you're listening, get ready. Get your seatbelts on. God's got something good for you tonight. Let me give you the area code. It's 323-693-3830, and we always allow our audience to call in and be a part of the show, ask some questions. So follow the prompt. If you want to talk to a guest or a host tonight, you select one. If you just want to listen, just don't select anything. You'll go into queue and you'll just listen. We just want the Holy Spirit to have his way tonight. I'm just excited about what's going to happen on this program because it's been something that has been a thing in the body of Christ that I've been noticing, and I know that we need to have an answer or a solution or for God to interject into our lives what we need as far as from the Word. With all that said and done, Vonda, won't you introduce our wonderful, wonderful guest tonight?
Gladly. I'm so excited. I know I told him other night as we talked about the show on this evening, I've watched his, we've been Facebook friends for a while, and I've watched different posts that he has, and mm-hmm. just blesses me in so many ways, not only just in relationships, but just in spirituality and Christianity and all these things. He's not a religious man. He's just a God-loving man, fierce God, loves God with all his heart, and I'm so excited to have him on the show tonight. And it's Eric Alonso. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show.
Welcome.
I'm so excited to have you out here tonight.
Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Vonda. I appreciate it. I love the introduction that you didn't call me religious. I love it. That puts my guard down. Because you don't want to come across too stuffy. You just want to come across just right. You want to come across real and transparent. That's what this world is. It's a world that it's still a good world to live in. But guess what? There's a lot of pain out there, and there's a real life events going on, and a lot of people are hurting. And so this is a scenario that it leaves me at ease to know that we're going to be bringing it good and hoping that somebody grows in a little bit more of wisdom tonight.
Amen. And I'm looking at your bio here, and I see that you're an inspirational speaker, author, and it gives all the different as far as the bachelor's in business administration and all this type of thing. But I want to know, let's get to the nitty-gritty of who you are. And give us a little bit of your testimony. Tell us about you and how God stuck on this journey.
Brother, I was brought up by Christian parents real quick, and I was brought up by Christian parents. I accepted the Lord when I was 9 years old. They prophesied over my life when I was 14 that I was going to be a minister when I grew older. I thought that was hard to believe because I had a stuttering problem back then. Mm-hmm. And when I was 14, at 16 I got baptized, doing things God's way, going to church. You know, sometimes people confuse the good life is the party scene, the women, the men, the drugs, the partying, all that stuff. But the good life is really with Jesus Christ. And so somehow I took my eyes off the prize. I had it all. Mm-hmm. I was a 20-year-old virgin. I was a virgin at 20 years old. But I decided to leave it all behind and go and raise some hell in the world. And so I went out there and started with the nightclub scene. And you know what comes with the nightclub, the drinking, the women, and all that. Mm-hmm. I was never into drugs. Drugs was not my thing. That was not my temptation. I always cared about my body. I wanted to live a long time. So that was not my thing. But guess what? A lot of people are instead of like having their bodies being lived in a way that's reckless, mm-hmm. I was actually living in a way that was bringing recklessness to my soul. So the body was not really being deteriorated because I was still doing my thing, working out, still doing my stuff, but my soul was becoming reckless because I was not drinking from the fountain that produces life, the joy, the peace, and everything that you're really chasing to begin with. But mm-hmm. here we are, for whatever reason, we want to change water fountains and thinking that this is going to bring me a scenario that's going to be better, and unfortunately it did not. It brought me a lot of discomfort. It took away my peace completely, where I had to depend on sleeping pills to go into bed. Mm-hmm. And then 12 years later, and I married somebody that I probably shouldn't, and 12 years later, I came back to the Lord. But guess what? Now I was 34, and 33, 34, and then when I came back, I still wanted to have this relationship that I had back when I was 20, but I couldn't get it. Because I had picked up a lot of bad habits. I had picked up the habit of lying, the habit of cussing, the habit of lust, and so I had to shed some of these things gradually along the way. Where finally the Lord brought me into a point where I needed to transform my thinking. Yes. I had to transform my thinking because if you don't change your thinking, you're not going to change your life. Mm-hmm. And so I had to get to the point where I really had to change my thinking, and so because my thinking was polluted, and if your thinking is polluted, guess what? Your life is going to be polluted, and it's also going to be poisoning your future. Yeah. So I had to get to the point where I just had to totally surrender it all to the Lord, and that the Bible verse that really started changing me was Romans 12:2. Mm-hmm. Do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Yes,
the renewal of your mind. When you renew your mind, it's not a New Year's resolution. It's not you're trying to do life and living life in your self-disciplined ways. Renewing of the mind is actually you have to get the word in you. The word transformation in Greek means metamorpho, which is metamorphosis in English. And you need to, like, transform, or else you're going to be wishy-washy. You're going to be three quarters with God, one quarter with the world. You're not going to be getting the full benefits and the full blessings of God. That's like kind of like working part-time. You're just not going to be able to support yourself working part-time. You're going to have mm-hmm. to, like, really bring it good working full-time and all in for the Lord. And that's then right. When I decided to go all in for God, that's when my life started changing for the better. I started having Bible studies, and then I wrote the book that you have in your hands.
Wow. This is incredible.
Awesome. Wow, just listening to you speak and talk about transformation, it actually segued me into the question that I have for you. As I was reading through your book, there was a part in there, and it was called Connecting with Your Creator. And when we make a in order for us to be transformed, we have to connect. There has to be that point to where we have to connect to something. Otherwise, we're going to stay in the era in which we are. So when connecting with your Creator, how do we get people there? I mean, you had your point to where it got you there, and you found that mechanism that made you connect with Christ. You went out there and did what you wanted to do, and at some point, the prophecies that your parents spoke over you started to actually start breeding in you again, because that's what the Bible tells us, to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he mm-hmm. goes, oh, he won't depart from it. That's not saying we're not going to walk away from that which we were taught. It just means when we go, that word is still going to be with us. So you had your defining moment that brought you back and allowed you to connect. But how do we get other people to get there, Harry?
You know, that that chapter was amazing because it was an atheist that gave his life to the Lord by reading that first chapter. And the chapter talks about, you know, how a lot of these people, they go in there and you know, you have your Genesis creation where God creates man from the dust and later creates a woman from his ribs. One of his ribs, but you also have all these other things that go on in there, you know, with life right now, science fiction, and do we just came here, or do we just, you know, did we just exist from a cosmic effect, or how was it that all this materialized? And a lot of people are looking for answers. In my case, remember, I gave my life to the Lord when I was 9. I had the fear of the Lord as a teen. I really did. The thing about me was I basically, instead of embracing 2 Thessalonians 3:13, which says, do not get tired of doing what's right. Instead of embracing that and wrapping that around my neck, what I did was I'm tired of doing what's right. And nobody taught me. Nobody was really, you know, the, people were not really focusing. They thought I was good enough, and, you know, why bother with Eddie? He said, Eddie's a good enough kid anyway. But, I mean, I wasn't a great kid, but I was walking with the Lord. I had the fear of the Lord. I wasn't doing the things that teenagers usually do. And so when I decided to go out and raise some hell, like I tell people, and I was now at 33, 34 years old, depending on sleeping pills to go to bed, drinking more than I should, developing habits of anger, of revenge. I was a very revengeful person because I had a decent heart, but when people would do me wrong, oh, my God, you better believe it, I'm coming after you. And now, you know, all that builds anger, builds bitterness, builds bad attitudes. And so I had to reconnect with the Lord. And so that first chapter that you mentioned, Vonda, is a chapter for those that are not connected to God to have a connection with God, because they're not going to be able to do life very well without God. They might be able to get by here and there, but you know what? There's always going to be something missing, because we were created with a void in our heart that only can be filled by God. We were created with something in our heart that eternity is keeps knocking at our door. That's why the rich young ruler, he had it all. He had the money. He had the whole scenario. But guess what? Something was missing in that rich young ruler, because he was basically searching for something that this world couldn't give him. He had the money. He had all the scenarios. When Jesus told him, well, if you need to do this and you need to do that, which was really targeting the last five commandments, which have to do with pleasing people and helping people, the rich young ruler responded, well, Master, I've already done all of that. And then when Jesus got a little bit more personal and he got a little bit more deeper with the rich young ruler, he told him, well, then leave everything behind and follow me. Right. Well, the rich young ruler got depressed and he got sad and he walked away, because he had his material possession that was giving him that security rather than putting his security on the eternal one. And so you can either keep your security with your 401k, which I don't blame him, that's a good idea, life insurance, all those things, but the true security is the eternity that's going to be ruling in your heart forever and ever in heaven one day. And so this rich young ruler walked away sad, and a lot of people are walking away in this world from something that's truly going to fill them, and instead they're picking up rocks and trying to find the missing piece in things that are just not going to give them. They, you know, you don't just want to know that you're going to heaven. You want to, I mean, you don't just want to, I'm sorry, you don't just want to think that you're going to heaven. You want to know that you're going to heaven.
Amen.
And so a lot of times what I tell people is God, without God, I tell people all the time, your life will never be complete. And I will emphasize on that word, never. Without God in your life, deep rooted, your life will never be complete. It's like a puzzle with a missing piece. It just won't happen. So you need to just figure out what you're going to do to connect with God. Don't worry about it that you're unworthy, that you're a mess, that you got this addiction, that you got all these habitual sins and deliberate sins, that you can't let go of that drug, you can't let go of that guy or that woman, that secret sin. Don't worry about all of that. You come to God and you ask him humbly, Lord, rescue me. Lord, spare my life. Lord, give me this hope that I need. Help me just know that heaven is mine. Because when you know that heaven is yours, you're walking more secured. And you don't need to ask Jesus, hey, what do I need to do? Because you know what to do already, because it's going to be revealed to you. Unlike the rich young ruler, that here he was searching and seeking and never finding what he really wanted all along.
You get some people out there that's searching. And I remember your part of your testimony that you spent a lot of years trying to find connection through the I went through a connection trying to find a connection to alcohol, drugs, you know, women, and all this type of thing, and I wasn't finding what I needed. I got saved at a young age too, but I backslid as well. But I was trying to find that perfect connection, and you talked about that in some of your Bible study, and I wanted to let everybody know about the Bible study as well. But I logged on to your website at alonzoministries.org, and I saw Transformation of the Mind Part 2. So I'm going to go back and find Part 1 if it's out there. And I saw,
yeah.
I saw the key thing that you mentioned about the two tricks, two master tricks of the devil. Could you really touch? Can you touch on some of that tonight? Because if I have heard some of that back then, I think I would have got things together a bit more.
Yeah, the devil basically comes at you with two ways: discouragement and doubt.
Mm-hmm.
That's really basically that's his trick. Yeah, we know that the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. We know that. But
mm-hmm.
the two tricks that he really gets the Christian is discouragement, which is
mm-hmm.
part of life. Jesus even said, in this life you shall have trouble. But he also comes to you with doubt. Doubt breaks the link of faith, which
Ooh.
Is what I'm going to talk about on Thursday's
yeah.
Bible study.
I'll be there.
Thursday's Bible study is going to be at 8 p.m. Eastern time. You can check it out on the webcast. It's going to be called Advanced Faith. Advanced
mm-hmm.
Faith. And you can look it up under www.alonzoministries.org. And it'll tell you right there where to go. Now,
okay.
on Thursday at 8 p.m., now, what happens is, when faith is not engaged right, then people start doubting. And that's where the battle is, in the mind. Here you're talking about a brain that weighs only 3 pounds, but it's a heavyweight in what it can or cannot do. The most powerful or most destructive tool that we have is actually our mind. Our mind can either take us somewhere or it can keep us behind. And so a lot of people, I believe the statistic that I saw the other day was 87 to 95%. That's a big number. Of all illnesses come from our thoughts,
mm-hmm.
our situations of life. The mind has billions of nerve cells, and each of them are attached with like 200 branches. And so every time you worry, every time you fear, every time you have some bad stress, not good stress, because sometimes there is good stress, and or you have some scenario that you're saying, I can't do that, or you don't believe in yourself, your self-esteem is down, your self-confidence is down. Every time things like that happen, you're sending like about 1,400 chemical reactions to your brain that's actually recording them, and here you are, you're getting older. Not older in obviously we're all going to die one day in our bodies, but you're getting older in your mind. And
mm-hmm.
that's why, you know, a lot of people, they're in their 20s and 30s and 40s, and they're acting like they're 70 because
yeah.
it's like a bad tree versus a good tree in their mind. And so the discouragement, when discouragement comes from the enemy, well, we need to either treat it like, you know, hey, God's got us, or
mm-hmm.
we're going to embrace this. And try to, like, you know, figure out, you know, and go in circles while the devil's laughing, that he, knowing that he has all of this, you know, in the back of his game plan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, doubt, when it comes to doubt, man, that is like, you know, that is something powerful there, because doubt
yeah.
is really, you know, you got to really, you can't mess with doubt. It's the opposite of faith. You know, doubt really, when you're talking about that, the Bible says in Hebrews 11, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we can't. Faith is like is the antidote to fear. Faith is the antidote to doubt. And a lot of people, what they're doing is they're living life without those two, you know, without faith and
mm-hmm.
without the joy. And what's the opposite? Well, doubt and discouragement.
That's right.
Here's something that I want. We got some callers on the line. I want to make sure we're going to let you know right now, callers. We're going to get to you. I've got your last two digits of your phone number is 46. I'm about to bring you on live in just a second. Last two digits of your phone is 46. I'm going to make sure I don't have 246s. I want our audience to have an opportunity to talk to you, because you got some powerful, powerful revelation that is life transforming. I like the title of your Bible study, Transformation of the Mind. We got to be renewed by the transforming of our mind, Romans 12 and 2. I want to bring someone online because they might have a specific question. We don't know who's going to be calling in. It could be somebody that's a Christian, somebody struggling, somebody that's not Christian. So
I'm used to handling both. That's okay.
Okay, we're going to bring them on live now. And don't be afraid to ask whatever you want to ask. If anybody is on the line and you want to ask a question, all you got to do is press 1. on your phone, and that'll let us know that you want to ask. Number 46, we're bringing you on live now. And you're live on Niacom. How are you tonight? You're live.
Yes,
you have a question for
us? It's my first time calling in, and I love what I'm hearing. Amazing testimonies that my faith has seen me through. Wow. I mean, I would need a whole lot of time to tell it, but definitely faith is the key. And in my little testimony in a nutshell is whenever I was doubting and getting all discouraged, and Satan really hit me bad, and I just had to, like, say, God, I mean, if you put this in my life, I know that you know that I can make it, but I don't believe it. So you have to give me David, like, faith, because, you know, I'm facing Goliath. And, you know, without you, I'm not going to make it. But with you, I think it's possible. So you got to help me believe what I read and what I preach, because I faced situations that were, like, beyond me. So I was like, okay, this is bigger than me, but you're bigger than it. And I had to stand on that word and say, God, I need walking on water faith. So in my particular lifetime, I was like suicidal whenever I got discouraged, because my thing was huge. I mean, I'm not even into it, but Heriberto knows me personally, so he knows. I'm Claudia,
This is Claudia, okay?
Yeah.
So how are you, woman of God?
All right.
You've come a long way. She's come a long way.
Is that right?
I went out to my church and I bought a little bracelet that's, you know, something called, you know, Beads of Life, whatever. So they have a little thing where I bought a bracelet called Walking on Water. And whenever I got all discouraged and I saw with my human eyes and my flesh the situation I was facing, I was like, I was looking at my bracelet and saying, I need walking on water faith. Because if I absorb what I'm looking at with my flesh, my faith is just going to go haywire. So God, help me look up and through and press through. I can't go around this. I got to press through. And I played all kind of songs, and I prayed in the spirit when I couldn't pray anymore, and that's it. And, I mean, my testimony is amazing. I mean, I'm restored. I'm no longer suicidal. My son was homeless, dying to drugs because of something horrendous that happened to him. Now he's serving the Lord. He's going to be an ordained pastor. So God is good.
It's all about
and,
faith.
Amen. Amen.
Faith hangs on to the invisible until the impossible becomes possible.
How do we tell somebody that's in that situation where she was or where her son was, that is going through suicidal tendencies, the enemy screaming discouragement, and once he gets you, we were listening to a pastor talk about in a monologue. It was in Acts 16 to 18, and how the python of the enemy wraps around it. He tries to get the head first. And that's what you're telling me. He discourages you by throwing thoughts at your head, your thoughts at your mind. And if he gets you discouraged, he squeezes a little bit tighter so he can start. Now he's going to attack your faith. And now he starts putting out to your faith. How do you tell someone that's in that situation right now, listen to this program, they have the suicidal tendencies, they're going to church, they're going to work, and no one knows, because when you're in that situation, you don't want to tell anybody. They might be serving in a ministry. They might be serving as an usher at the church. They might be serving in a music ministry or whatever area, but they're dealing with thoughts of defeat, thoughts of doubt, and the enemy's trying to tell them to take themselves out. How, Harry, do we talk to people like that that's dealing and struggling right now?
Very, very sensitive situation. Pain comes to all of us. And sometimes our natural reaction to pain is to run from it. That's the natural reaction to pain. So, however, God wants to teach us endurance and patience like a long-distance runner while depending on him. So with this pain that somebody might be going through, the pain has to be surrendered to God. You need to renew that mind. You need to find yourself a good counselor in the church that will be able to hear you or listen to you and bounce your thoughts back and forth to them. Because if you continue dwelling on that, because the dwelling is where the problem is. The thoughts are going to come, but we have a choice. People think, nah, I had no choice. Yes, you did. The thought came to your mind. And you had a choice at that moment to either embrace it or to dismiss it. And I know it hurts a lot of time when people are going through a divorce. I know a lot of friends of mine that are going through that right now. I know friends of mine that are just like, you know, devastated because of what's going on in their lives. But you're going to be challenged in life. That's just the part that's just life. Everybody's going to be challenged. And like I mentioned earlier, the most destructive or the most powerful tool that we have is our mind. We can become a warrior about it with a W-O, or we become a warrior about it, W-A. What does that mean? You're going to pray about everything to quiet your soul. One of the ways that when I went through my divorce, I know it was painful. I never had suicidal thoughts, so I can't relate there. But I was very down. I was very I felt like, you know, I didn't want to go out for a while. I was very down. And the way that I calmed my soul was to simply pray. Prayer has a way of putting a little Novocaine on your soul. And now,
like
opposed to a lot of people what do they do? Well, they do quite the opposite. They go into addictions. They go into scenarios like that. And when they're in addictions, then what happens? Many want to stop, but they still want to enjoy that temporary pleasure of the drug. And so not knowing that pleasure is going to lead them to utter destruction. And so it's ironic that a lot of people these days that are suicidal, they're depending, a lot of them is on painkillers. And that's why painkillers are emerging as one of the number one choice for addictions right now. You know, painkillers, which are supposed to be for the physical pain, are being used to numb the emotional and spiritual pain. And so a lot of people... They're taking these things to kind of like mute the emotional and spiritual pain, as opposed to progressing and facing what they have to face. Which I've never seen anybody that lives for God. I've never seen anybody that lives for God suffer forever.
I've never seen it.
God always comes to the rescue.
God always
comes to the rescue, period. Mm-hmm. He will never leave you there too long. In fact, when you're in that scenario, he's going to build you up, because it's in the valleys that you grow, not in the mountaintops, when everything is going all peachy green. And so here you are, you're in this down valley right now. Embrace it. But embrace it properly. Embrace it with God, not embrace it with temporary things that are going to keep you further behind. Embrace it with God, not with things that are going to, at the end, close out on you. Embrace it with God, because I have never seen the righteous forsaken, be left apart. I've never seen the righteous suffer forever. I've never seen the righteous just be in a valley for too long. God knows how much you can take. Whatever you're dealing with, He knows you can take it. He will never give you more than you can handle. But you need to embrace God. You need to get off your medication. You need to get off your temporary pleasures, that all they do is just put a little Band-Aid on your soul, but later on the reality comes out, and then you're what? You're back to square one again. A fix could never be temporary, a fix could be temporary, but transformation is forever. So you need to embrace that, because temporary fixes never bring solution. Transformation is what brings solution. So a lot of times, you that are listening to me, your worst battle is really between what you know already and what you feel.
So, you said something good. This is a scenario that I've been talking to someone about, even just up to yesterday. When we're in a situation where we can really grow, we want to run, because it's a situation that is messing with our emotions. And we don't think we deserve to go through any pain, because we're Christians and we're above and not beneath. But God looks at it a little bit different. We say these wonderful things, and sometimes we take them out of context. That thing, that hard thing that you're dealing with, even in churches or on your job, that's what's going to make you. That's what God is going to use to bring and mature you. And my old pastor said, takes the manure to grow potatoes. You're going to have to grow through the hard stuff. That's what's going to make you and make you a solid Christian believing in the word, because those hard things are nothing to run from. Although you feel like running, you stand there for, because God's trying to get those spiritual muscles in tune. He's trying to make you strong. And that's what I'm receiving out of this. I'm hoping somebody is hearing this tonight, because I believe Harry's on this program to let us know that there needs to be a transformation in the Christian world and in our thinking. We're not going to have a bed of eases, a rosy
you
bed.
Know,
go ahead.
But no. You know what? As the both of you were talking, I'm listening, especially to what you said, Michael, and it's the hardships in life that keeps us from real transformation.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of us feel like we can't, and we have no confidence in ourselves. We have confidence in God because we know who God is, but we have no confidence in ourselves. That's why I was asking Harry earlier when I was talking about how do we teach people to connect to the Creator to where it builds their confidence in themselves. Some
mm-hmm.
people have been out there so long, they're considered professional sinners or professional screw-ups, for lack of a better word, that they think,
yes.
I can't move from this point. So it's that hardship that keeps them from real transformation, and they keep conforming, trying to get there, but they don't know how. And that's where our biggest challenge is as Christians, to help people get to the point to where they forget where they are and where they were and understand that you can get here too.
Right.
You know, I've done Bible studies for the last 8 years. For the last year, I would say, 12 months, I've been doing them online. Every other Thursday at 8 p.m., the next one coming this Thursday. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, the amazing thing is, like, we usually have a lot of big numbers, and the numbers are decent. And guess what? When we had what I thought was going to be the best Bible study of 2012, which was Transformation of the Mind Part 1, what I thought that was going to be a Bible study that was going to blow people away, was actually the lowest audience, and I was like, "Wow, here's people." How to find a man? Woo! The airlines go crazy. The webcast goes crazy. How to find a woman? Helping your marriage? Woo! The numbers go high. Transformation of the mind, which is really amazing. How no? Because the Bible says in Proverbs, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he.
Yes.
The devil doesn't have to do much. He doesn't have to get a rope and tie you down. He just has to tie your mind. If he ties your mind, he ties your life.
And so
people go around dealing with scenarios like that, and then they wonder why their relationships are not working. They wonder why their marriage is not working. Well, you're not maturing in your mind. Your thoughts actually determine your feelings. And then your action, and ultimately your destiny. But so many of us are walking around and living just based on our feelings. And the feelings sometimes are destructive. If the mind is corrupted, the feelings are going to be corrupted. So fix your mind so that you can fix your life. Because we want to walk in this freedom. But unfortunately, here's the scenario where I was like, wow, we're going to have record-breaking numbers here today. And quite the contrary. Quite the contrary. So, here you are. We worry about who fixes our teeth, who cleans our teeth, we worry about who examines our body. We look at who does our hair. In my case, I don't have that. But, but why aren't we more careful about who feeds our soul? Which is our mind. Why aren't we more careful like that? We are saved by grace. Great, whoopee doopee, you're going to heaven. But grace that saves will actually transform you. It may be in an instant, or it may be slow and gradual and sometimes painful. But transformation of the mind must occur.
That's right. A lot of people, for whatever reason, don't do it. I can't believe we're already at the bottom of the hour, and we have so many people that are calling in that wants to talk to you, and we're going to try to get to another call. We have another caller calling in from the 203 area code, and we want to bring them on the air. Caller, are you there? We have you at 203 area code. You have a question for Harry Alonzo. You're on the air.
Yes, I do. This is Sandy Stevens. Harry should know who I am by now.
How are you, Sandy? God bless you.
I'm doing good, sir. Great. I just want to publicly thank you for your love, your support, your prayers, your quotes. My life has been so changed so much, tuning into your teaching, your the way you just express yourself, you know, you just keep it real. You know, like I said to you the other day, that's one of the things I appreciate about you, that you keep it real. I'm not going to stay too long. As the young lady just said, there's other people that's all in. My quick question is in regards to relationships. Is there such a thing as a type? Mm-hmm. You know, like some people say, well, I like this type of a person and I like that type of a person. Would that be also considered to be God giving you the desires of your heart in regards to your mate? That's my question.
It could be, Sandy. It could be I have my type. You know, I'm definitely not an Aunt Esther type of type deal, but I like, you know, I have my taste. I have my preference, if you would like to call that word, preference. But the scenario here is, you know, let's throw out 10 qualities out there right now. Let's throw out 10 qualities in the airwaves. And these 10 qualities have to do with, you know, what you want in your mate. You know, what you want. The number one, which is non-negotiable, it should be you need to find a mate that you're spiritually connected to. In other words, they're spiritual. If you're bringing them to church and they're not receiving and they're not growing, okay, well, be patient. But if you're going to church but they don't want nothing to do with the church, don't expect them to change them when they're married.
Right.
I mean, you might have a long shot possibility, but I would not play with those odds. Mm-hmm. And so number one, it has to be there. So for argument's sake and because of time issues, I'm just going to tell you my 10. But here's the thing. The first four, Sandy, they need to be non-negotiable, meaning, let me talk about the 10, and then you'll know what I'm talking about. But the first four for me are, number one, she has to be a Christian.
Right.
She has to be a woman of God. I'm a minister. I'm an author, and so I need somebody that's going to help me in my purpose, in my destiny, in my calling. And so I can't be with a woman that I'm going to be dragging along to church. I can't be with somebody that's not going to be ministering to the women at the church.
Ooh.
I can't be with somebody that only want to do is party and want to put God in second and third priority. I can't do that. I can't afford that. I was called for this. I was chosen for this. I didn't ask for it, but I just obeyed because God gave it to me. And so, number one, she has to be spiritual. Number two, she has to have character. You know, I'm not talking about a virgin. I don't need a virgin, but you need to have somebody, because even Ruth wasn't a virgin. And yes, she found a Boaz, or Boaz found her. But you have to find somebody that has character. I don't want to, you know, marry somebody that has slept with the entire football team. So I need somebody that has character. And so, that carries herself with self-worth, that carries herself with value. Number three, we need to have some type of physical chemistry. I have to have that somewhat of an attraction for her. You know, that's number three. And number four for me, she needs to be authentic, meaning real. I don't like drama queens. I don't like fake people of any kind. I don't like people that, you know, they think that, you know, life is a fantasy, that they're still living with Cinderella. We ain't about that. I like somebody that keeps it real, that, you know what, sometimes when you get married, you're going to have to get your hands dirty. And sometimes you're going to have to, like, realize that, you know, we're going to have bad days. And so you need to keep it real. You need to keep it committed. Number five for me, she needs to have a good personality. I mean, a lot of people try to, you know, I have my aunt that tries to set me up sometimes with, but she has a great personality. I go, yeah, but she's not my type whatsoever. So, you know, I mean, she's, I don't want somebody that, never mind, let me not go there. So number six, she needs to be intelligent. Yes, not necessarily, you know, Harvard type or whatever, but just someone that I can carry on a conversation with. Number seven, that she needs to be a good parent.
Mm-hmm.
Number eight, she needs to be creative. Number nine, she needs to be ambitious. And number 10, which I can't remember right now, but the bottom line is that, because I don't have my notes or anything with me here, but the four that I have, which are spiritual, character, chemistry, and authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
I can't negotiate with that. So what do I mean by that? If I'm going out with somebody, we're going out for a cup of coffee, and she doesn't want nothing to do with God, I don't need to take it any further. I don't need to date her five times.
That's right.
Okay. If somebody is not real, she's a drama queen. A little coffee spills on her. The whole Starbucks knows about it. You know, I don't need to go out with her. You know.
That's right.
So I mean, that's just for me. It doesn't mean that I'm right or wrong. It's just my preference. And so, the same with women. You know, do they want an intelligent guy? Do they want a person that's loving, a conversationist? What do you need? What is it that you want? That if you want somebody that's a talker, don't marry somebody that doesn't talk. And so you got those first four. If you want somebody that's ambitious, and here you are, you're dating somebody that's lazy, that they're just a very simple man. There's nothing wrong with him, but he just wants to just very simple. He doesn't want to get his feet wet anymore. Then don't go there. If that's really one of your top four. Do you get me, Sandy? Is she still on the line? I don't know if she's still on the line or not. But that's really...
I can go back in it just a second. Let me see.
No, I mean, you don't have to. Go get the others. Go get the others because we're running out of time. But that's basically, you know, what it is. You know, I don't negotiate what's already given to you. You know, so anyway, go ahead.
I think what you were saying is so important. I know in a lot of relationship shows that we do, I tell people all the time, especially in my singles group that I have on Facebook as well, we have to have a certain preference. And as Sandy was said earlier, a type. We all have a type. We shouldn't have a list shouldn't keep us confounded. That if God sends us someone, because God knows what's best for us. And if God's type is not our type, we have to be more like Christ. And we have to be, Lord, is this your will for me? So if God's type doesn't fit in what we have for ourselves, we got to be willing to think outside of that box as well. I liked that you had 10, but you said, here's my top four. Meaning maybe they don't have all 10, but the first four, it's not negotiable.
And they won't. And you know, and somebody asked me the other day, but well, why don't you want somebody that's a parent in your top four? I go, listen, you know, as long as they're a decent parent, you know, that's all I need. I don't need them to over mother my children. And so I want them to prioritize with what really makes a home, which is a husband and wife, then the children. And so a lot of mothers focus more on the children than on the husband, and the husband feels neglected, unappreciated, and so what happens? There goes the affair. Men don't cheat because they want another woman. Men cheat because they don't feel respected, they don't feel admired, they don't feel appreciated. And so a lot of, and that's really what happens with a lot of scenarios. If you don't tell your husband, you know, hey, you know, you're the bomb, you know, you're my man, well, what am I going to do without you, whatever, you know, boost them up, because all men have egos, all of us. And they need to be stroked every now and then. And so if you're the type like, you know, well, you know, he's a grown man. He should know that I don't need to compliment him. Well, you know what? You're doing your marriage a disservice.
That's right.
And so it's okay to – because men have feelings too, contrary to popular belief. So we have feelings too, you know. So right, Michael?
That's right. You know it's right. Hey, let's
– You know what, Harry? Go ahead, Michael.
No, I said let's take some time to announce some people that's listening in or that's on the phone that may not have heard us make an announcement about your Bible study, because I know we're in a season right now that we have a lot of people that need to have that transformation of mind. You said in the program that I was in at today that so we get saved and we stop growing because we're not being challenged, or we're not transforming our mind. So please, let's plug that again and let's tell them where they can log in and be a part of that Bible study on Thursday nights.
Sure. They can also send me the emails there, and they can send me I can send them the quote of the day, which is an inspirational quote that's going to keep them, you know, just a little nugget that will help them, because it's all about the mind. It's all about, you know, every nugget helps, every drop helps. If you have a roof leak and you have, you know, 10 drops as opposed to 10,000, you're going to make a difference. And so every drop counts. And so the website that you can visit the Bible study on Thursday, which is going to be Advanced Faith. The website is alonzoministries.org. And right there, it'll tell you the instructions on how to, you know, click here to go live into the broadcast. It's going to be at 8 p.m. Eastern Time sharp. At 8:01, we're starting, not 8:05. So this is not island time. We're starting on 8:01, and it's going to last for 1 hour, from 8 to 9 p.m. You're going to be blessed, you're going to be inspired, and you're going to grow in wisdom. And so if you want to contact me there, you can also contact me. There's a link there that you can contact me as well.
And tell them about your book. You have a book that's out as well. I want to make sure that you have access to it.
My book is also there on the website, Blessed, Balanced, and Complete. And the book is something that the church needs. The whole world needs it, really. But we're talking about the church now, because the church supposedly, we're fit. We're fit in the spirit. Oh, glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're fit. We're going to heaven. But our bodies look like a refrigerator sometimes. And so here we are, and as opposed to embracing 1 Corinthians 6:20, which says, honor God with your body, we are not. We're embracing, you know, something else. We're embracing, and that's a lack of discipline too. And it's sad, because a lot of people, they want to, you know, talk a good thing, you know. But even in 1 Thessalonians 4 somewhere, it says that each of you learn to control your own body in a way that's holy and honorable. When the word there means control, in 1 Thessalonians, I believe it's 4. I'm not sure what verse. But anyway, you need to control it, not just with fornication. Oh, yeah, he's a heathen. He's fornicating. Oh, he's an adulterer. Oh, whatever. You need to also control it with what you eat. You know, okay, some people, they have diseases, they have sickness, they have illnesses, like thyroid issues and stuff. Okay, fine. You're going to have it a little tougher, and so you need to probably work out twice as hard. I don't know. But the bottom line is, for those of you that are healthy, and all of a sudden, well, I got big because I got married. That's a lousy excuse. And so I don't buy that. Even, I mean, 1 Corinthians is loaded with verses about the body. Even in 1 Corinthians 9 somewhere, it says, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. 1 Corinthians 9:27, I believe it is. I discipline my body. So this book is basically to get your spirit fit, to get your body fit, and to get your mind fit. When you have all three, where is the devil going to attack you?
Nowhere. Wow. He doesn't have a place. And you know,
he has no place to attack you. I mean, he really has no place to attack you. I mean, I don't get sick. I don't get sick because I take care of myself.
Right.
But you see people getting sick all the time. Okay, a disease could come. Cancer may strike. Oh, I'm not going to live forever. I realize that. But increase your odds and at least live with some type of quality in your life. At least you, wife, be presentable in a way to your husband, so that your husband, who is usually more visual than you are, so he can be appealed to you, so you can arouse him with you the way you look. One of the needs that a husband needs is a good-looking wife. I'm not talking about the looks, but I'm talking about and how they look. If they married you like that, then stay like that. You know, and you know, just because, and husbands, and now is your turn. If they married you with, you know, I realize you're not going to have the bulging muscles when you were 20, but you know what? At least stay somewhat in the ballpark. Don't go out of the ballpark, you know, and be all, you know, out of control with how you eat. So those are the scenarios that I try to teach in this book, and chapter 2 has 31 pages devoted to just health. It's just about, you know, the workout routine, the diet, but the most important part, the diet and the mind. The mind. How are you? Because 80% people go to the gym. Oh, I'm a gym membership. I've been in LA Fitness for 5 years. Yeah, but you've only gone like 10 times. And so you need to. The gym ain't gonna fix you. A lot
That's
of membership.
Right.
Why do you think the gym never tells people, I'm sorry, we're all booked. We can't take your membership. No, they continue because they know people are not going to go. And
That's
so
right.
LA Fitness, you go, and you, but the most important thing is the 80% is what you do outside of LA Fitness and what you eat. And a lot of people struggle because of pure ignorance. That's not stupidity. That's called ignorance. That means they just don't know. And this chapter 2 has 31 pages about helping the mind about what to eat. Yeah, but I had an apple at 8 o'clock at night. Yeah, but you had no protein to go with it. And you're not supposed to have fruits at night. You're supposed to have fruits in the morning and veggies at night. And so, you know, you need to know when to eat this fruit. The apple's a good fruit, but you're eating it at the wrong time. So it's scenarios like that that's going to really help your body be fit. If your body is fit, you're going to feel fit. And if you feel fit, your attitude and your shoulders are going to go back, and you're going to increase your odds on being found. And a lot of things are going to happen in your favor, because people usually associate success with how you look. And so I have a chapter also in there about, it's called a Single Godly Man's Perspective and How to Find a Wife. You want to know how men think. Well, that chapter has gone internationally. It's gone to Europe. It's gone to Australia. And is really selling quite well, just that chapter alone in those two countries. So anyway, and the book has a lot of things about how to keep you from running this race called life, the struggle of the spirit versus the flesh, and among other things. So it's already, the book has been out 2 years, and approximately 5,000 copies have been sold. So not bad for a first time author.
That's right.
I can't believe we're already 10 minutes before the top of the hour, and we want to kind of dive into the last few minutes into a little bit of the relationship. I know you kind of touched a little bit on divorce, and the one question I really wanted you to elaborate on, because we're seeing such an increase in divorce within the church, I want you to kind of tell us why you think that is, how we can get past it, and how we can start allowing God to fit into our marriages and to where we're blossoming in Him and in our relationship.
Well, divorce, you know, sometimes is inevitable. 90% of marriages are either unhappy or they're divorcing. That's kind of sad, 90%. You know why? Because we're not doing it right. So things that usually start wrong end wrong. And even in the Christian church, because we'll look at a man, oh, he's a godly man, but you know what? Have you really asked God if they're the one? Have you really isolated yourself to a point where you want to, like, really hear the voice of God give you peace that you should proceed forward with this? So a lot of people, they just go on and life just goes on, and they just really don't protect their marriages. And you see marriages just being, you know, destroying themselves because people just don't protect it. And so I taught a seminar, which, by the way, the relationship DVDs. They're two DVDs. They're going to be ready next week. I just had a seminar a couple weeks ago on relationships, and I touched about married people, and I also talked about singles, how to increase your odds on being found. And so this two-part DVD series will be out next week. Again, just visit the website at alonzoministries.org, and right there, just contact me. Send me an email. Hey, I would like to purchase these two DVDs. They're going to come out for $15. What a deal. Two DVDs for $15, and people are selling them for like $30 these days. A lot of information in there, and it's going to help you out. But, you know, seven things God gave us in a marriage, right? He said God gave man headship over the woman. He told husband to lay his life down for his wife, and a lot of husbands are not doing that. He told the husband to treat his wife as the weaker vessel, like it talks about in 1 Peter. It also tells them both to submit to one another, don't deny each other, to submit to God. It told the woman, told the man to love his wife. It told the woman to respect and submit to her husband, and, you know, and then to be fruitful and multiply. So when couples don't do that, when they're not going by the game plan that God has already set out for us to live, what happens? Then all of a sudden, you know, things start happening. Bad things start to happen. No, I don't care what you do. Even if you do all seven of these right, you're going to have issues in your marriage. You're going to have issues in life. You're going to have troubles in your marriage, and you're going to have troubles in life. People change. People change along the way. So you need to somehow, some way, improve the harmony that comes with it by showing respect and gratitude, by listening more when you don't feel like listening, by watching your tone and doing things like appreciation and encouragement. And so people, they go off the deep end, and instead of having a loving relationship, it becomes a self-destructive relationship. And so they seek revenge rather than talk. They keep resentment inside, which is the worst thing, because when spouses keep resentment inside, it leads to bitterness. And then a lot of times they just simply resist, and they form a resistance upon themselves, and they put up walls when they should be communicating. So when there's no communication and there's walls, guess what? Things are going to start to crack, and you're going to have fragment in your marriage.
Right.
And so you can't be dealing with resentment. You can't be dealing with revenge. You can't be putting up walls. You got to talk. You got to talk. A lot of times divorce happens because of, you know, poor planning in our finances, and also because we don't talk. We just don't have pleasant conversations. We're so in a hurry all the time. We're so watching TV all the time. And so we don't build on the marriage. You know, here we are. We're building on our courtship. We date for a year, 2 years, and all of a sudden we get married. Boom, we stop. We stop dating. We stop courting. Why? What's up with that? And so, you know, marriages then all of a sudden become fragmented, and then what happens? Well, you know, you start having scenarios where you start looking at other people's marriage, and you start comparing, and you start discussing your problems with your competition. And you don't have to win every fight. Just make sure you fight fair. You know, and a lot of times we don't affair-proof our marriage. And mm-hmm. so we start telling we don't have no boundaries with the opposite sex. And so what happens? Here we are, we're sharing our problems with an opposite sex friend, and boom, an affair happens. And boom, the marriage goes down the water. And so you need to work your problems together, not involving other people with your problems. You know,
right.
And so God hates divorce. You know, so we need to fight for our marriage. You know, we want to have a heaven on earth, but guess what? We need to work at it right here on earth. The dress rehearsal is right here on earth. We need to work at it here on earth. And so that's my opinion on why it's there's a lot of scenarios out there. You know, I heard that marriage basically is two forgiving hearts. When you have two people that forgive each other,
uh-huh.
they can go far. They can go far.
Now we have a couple of callers. If you're listening by your computer, go ahead and call back in. We'll get your questions in. It was one from the 786 area code and one from 305. Go ahead and call back in if you're listening. We're ready to take your questions now. Please call again at 323-693-3830. And remember to push 1, and we'll get you right on to get your question to Harry Alonzo so we can answer. And let's take this time now. We know that God is doing something incredible in people's lives tonight, and we sense that all along when we talk about transformation, because there's a lot of people, a lot of Christians, a lot of people in ministry, Harry, that have not gone through a transformation that God wants them to go through, and they keep looking at the things that they go through, and when he said this before, they keep looking at the things that they're going through and saying, no, why do I have to go through that? But it's a part of their growth, and they don't know it. So this is something we want to pray about tonight. Somebody might be on the line and may not want to talk. But I want you, if you would minister to them and pray before the end of
sure.
the show, and just let the Holy Spirit use you.
Sure. Yeah, you want me to do it right now?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Okay, you got it. Father God, we come to your throne, and we're going to ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, the name above all names, the name and the person of Jesus and the Holy Spirit to go right now into the airwaves. And, Lord, that person that's struggling with scenarios in their mind, that they simply are taking the test of life over and over, and they never graduate to the new levels. They never experience the true goodness of life with God. They never get God's promises given to them because they're still trying to pass the test, going through their addictions, through their carnality struggles, through their jealousy, envy, excusitis, their unforgiveness, self-pity, whatever it is, Lord Father. I ask you right now to visit their hearts in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
I ask you, Lord, to visit them and transform their mind. Help them realize that being born again is a requirement that you need to grow in faith. Help them tune in to Thursday's Bible study, Lord, so they can tune in to faith and they can advance in their faith walk. Help them surrender, Lord, everything that's keeping them behind, these thoughts, things that they don't understand, that sometimes they have no end because God is in control. And, Lord, somehow help their minds be renewed so they
yes.
can walk boldness in their thinking, so they can their mind can be consistently set in you. Help them guard their mind, Father God, in Jesus' name. I speak life over their mind right now in the name of Jesus. I speak, Father, words of affirmation to them that they are grateful, that they are good people, that they're wonderfully and fearfully made, that God has plans for them and has
yes.
plans to prosper them and bless them and give them a life of hope, not a life of just going through the motion. Help them, Father, help them fill their empty space in their mind with you, Lord. Because we know that if they're filled with you, negativity becomes not a disorder, but it becomes now a thing that we can just wipe away, that we can just keep moving. Help them bring affirmation into their life. When they wake up in the morning, let them realize that, Lord, they are a warrior or a warriorette, that they are a woman of God or a man of God, and help their spiritual growth transform. Where speak to their mind, Father God. You are a spirit, and let our spirits connect to your spirit so that you can speak to their minds, and their minds can be renewed in the name of Jesus. And we thank you ahead of time that you have heard our prayers and that you're not gonna, they're not going to go dismissed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay, if you're listening live, you're about to be cut off in the next few seconds, but you can download the show later, about 15 to 20 minutes after the show, to hear it in its entirety. So you're about to be cut off right at it in about 10 seconds. So we're going to go on with and just finish up. If you have questions that have not been asked yet, you can, might go over to overtime. You go ahead and stay on. We'll go ahead and finish out the question set before we in our show tonight. We truly thank you for being on the show. And this is one of many, I believe, of times that we'll have you on the show. If you would come back at a later time, to finish the conversation, that would be awesome.
No problem. You have a great co-host there. Both of you are wonderful. Bonda is amazing. I connected with her for the first 2 minutes. We're talking on the phone, and so it will be my pleasure.
I've got someone from 786 area code. I'm bringing them live now. They have a question. Give me 1 second to get them on. You're live on NIACOM, and we're here talking to Harry Alonzo. You got a question? Oh, they let go. I'm sorry about that. Okay. We talked to the 46 there. I mean, that's we get a lot of callers on the line. Some of them wanted to talk. There were people calling in and out. And I think what was happening, that some of the calls might have been getting bumped. I do apologize for that. We should have been able to hold 30 on the line. We had 15 up to 16, and I don't know what's happening there. So we'll try to correct that problem next time as well.
You got it, brother.
And let's one more time before we end our show tonight. Let's go over the way they can get in touch with you, or connect with the Bible study, or to get your book, and then we're going to let Vonda take us on out.
Yeah, basically, they can just go to my website. They can get my book there. They can contact me there. They can be on the inspirational quote of the day that I send via email. And if they want to join me on Facebook, unfortunately, my Facebook is full.
Yes, it is. That's right.
Yeah. But you can – here you go. I also minister on my fan page, which is Alonzo Space Ministries.
Okay.
So go into Alonzo Space Ministries, click like. And you're going to have a lot of my postings. You're going to have a lot of my speaking engagements and stuff. Everything is going to be in there as well. So, in the future, I think that's going to be my main one. So whatever you do, make sure you log in – not log in, but make sure you like that page. Again, Alonzo Space Ministries. And just like that page, because that's going to be my future page. Because there on that one, I can be unlimited. I should have had like over, I don't know how many right by now, but I can't. I can't add any more because I've reached my limit. So
right.
That's the best way also. Alonzo Ministries, I always post stuff there daily there as well.
Okay. I'm trying to find it even as I'm typing here. And Vonda, go ahead.
No, I just wanted to thank Harry again. I'm so excited to have you on here, and I was actually thinking it when you asked him to come back because we really didn't delve into the whole relationship topic like we wanted to, but, God had his way in what he wanted to talk about tonight. So I'm just really thankful that you were here and that you were able to reach those that you were able to reach, because I know several people were touched by your words and your presence here on the NIACOM platform. So thank you again, and I'll definitely be in touch with you to schedule you for another time with us, because we've definitely enjoyed you. So thank you.
You got it. You got it. It will be my pleasure, Vonda. God bless you both, and enjoy your weekend, and until next time.
All right.
Thank you.
God bless.
All right. Take care.
Good night.
And Michael, we can't leave without letting our listeners know who's going to be on the show next week. We have two shows coming up on this week. Friday night, which is September the 14th, we will have the pastor of the Harvest Church, Cedric Raphael.
Awesome.
I'm really excited. He also,
yes.
If those who are listening, listens to KHBN in the Dallas area, he actually does. He said, she said, but what does God say on KHBN Monday through Friday in the afternoons or in the evening? So we don't want you to miss that show. And also coming up this next Saturday on the 15th, we have back on the NIACOM platform, Cher Winkley. So we're really excited to have her back. So you don't want to miss those two nights. They're going to be awesome.
Amen. All right. I'm going to let you take us out. You have reset anything, everything?
I think that's everything. And as usual, thank you, everyone, for your support, your love, everything. Thank you for, oh, we forgot, we have started a NIACOM page on Facebook.
Please stop by
and like our page. If you listen to our show, if this is your first night listening to our show, please stop by, leave comments, let us know what you thought. If we could improve on something, let us know that as well. We just want to be here for you. And if there's ideas that you have, please put that on the page as well. But stop by and like us, because we really want God to have his way on this show. Every time we take the stage, every time we take the air, we want to know that we're making a difference in the lives of God's people. So if our guest has made a difference in your life, if Michael, if I have, please just stop by and let us know. And just like our page, we would appreciate it.
Tell them where to go, because they may not know where the page is.
Oh, sorry. On Facebook, NIACOM, it stands for New Inspirational Artists Communicating Our Message. NIACOM on Facebook. Just simply plug it into the search engine at the top of the page, and it'll take you right to the page. And you'll see Michael's picture and my picture at the top of the page, and a little bitty NIACOM dice in the far corner of it. So just like the page, and you know, we'll be a great, and we actually respond to things. So if you want to send us an email, if you want to post something to one of us, we definitely respond back to you.
Okay, definitely show us how you like, tell us how you like the show. And just reiterating what Vonda just said, there's something that we can do. If you know any guests that you believe would like to be on the show, they're an author, an actor, Christian artist, gospel artist, let us know, and we'll be willing to check it out. Thank you for being a great artist. Thank you for a journey. Thank you for an incredible ride on this show tonight. It's been a blessing to our lives to minister through this program, but it's also been a blessing to talk to so many authors out there, hearing some things that needs to get into the lives of people. People are hungry. People are thirsting. People that are running into walls out there, and we're hoping to provide a solution. Just keep praying for us, because we're trying to do everything that God's called us to do in this program. We definitely solicit your prayers for this show and for those scenarios as well. Well, God bless. And Vonda, good night. Good night, Eric.
Good night.
Called in. God bless.
Good night.